Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Son, this is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, and I don't know if my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, is on the line. Are you on the line, sir?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back. I'm almost 100% from the sinus infection. Still taking some of those big, I call them horse pills. But we're on the mend. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, we are in another Holy Week, and amen. It's like the scriptures that we are studying are coinciding with the period of time that we're in, getting ready to go into on tomorrow, what we call a Good Friday, and
yeah.
Working our way through Saturday through early Sunday morning to Resurrection Sunday. And these next two chapters, they cover that. I remember when we first started doing this Bible study, we were writing about this same time also. So
right.
It's good to know that there's nothing new under the sun, and that as we go through this word, the word comes back from the beginning to end. So it's a great time of year to study the word. In these days and times, not too many people observe or even think about Holy Week and Palm Sunday or Good Friday or Resurrection Sunday. I think a lot of times it's like Christmas, and people just looking for a holiday or reason to take off.
Amen. Definitely. That's what they do, if they remember that, other than the fact that it is time for it to take off. But you don't see, like, back in the day where it was a combination of both. One, the joy of, you know, Pastor and I were just talking about it this past week, how on Easter we loved as kids getting dressed up and, like,
mm-hmm,
a little outfit.
Yep.
Thing, but by the same token, it was also instilled in us the true meaning of Easter or the true meaning of Good Friday. And so that
right.
joy being all dressed up and maybe, you know, knowing about the Easter Bunny and everything, but it coincides
mm-hmm.
with leading us and knowing the true meaning of Easter. Now it's kind of like it's
right.
almost completely commercial, but not hand in hand with the true meaning of it.
Right, it was a big deal. You know, you get your patent leather shoes on, and everybody got a new suit.
That's what we're talking about.
You know,
about,
you had
huh?
jelly beans and the
yeah.
little crosses we made. We made the crosses out of the palm on Palm Sunday, and
mm-hmm.
we did the plays. We did the Easter plays and Sunday
right.
school, and we did all of those things, and. It was a joy, but
right.
it seems now that more and more, like you said, it's become commercialized, and I think people have other things that they would rather do. Dr.
Right.
G?
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't have the same significance as it used to, and even when some of the churches do the seven last words, it's more of
mm-hmm.
a thing trying to outdo one another. The times have definitely changed.
Right. So we're gonna pick up in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we left off where Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper and dealing with his disciples as he gets ready to go to what we call a Good Friday. And Jesus, one of his called vocal disciples, Peter,
mm-hmm.
has a conversation with him about the things that were going to happen before his crucifixion. And so in verse 31, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And so we're reading from the King James Version. It says, "Then said Jesus," this is Matthew 26:31. "Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad."
Mm.
And here Jesus is predicting what and how things are going to go down. And it's amazing to hear him begin to talk about all of his disciples. And that leads me to the Word of God, where it says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And this is what's so great about the gospel, Sheila G. and Dr. G., is that God identifies and he knows all of our shortcomings. He knows what we're going to be good at. He knows what we're not going to be good at. He knows what we're going to be successful at. He knows what we're going to be, what we're going to fail at. And he's just so plain with it. But yet in this critique of all 12, where it says all of them shall be offended of him, he understood that character flaw in them. But yet in spite of that character flaw, he still went to the cross. And that's what's so amazing to me about the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, is that he understood the characteristic fault in all of humankind. And one of the first words from the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In other words, he knows our shortcomings. He knows, you know, we put on a good face and we think we're strong in certain things, but underneath it all, we're human and we're scarred by sin. And he just put it out there in that verse 31. He said unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." In other words, he just said, you know, this is what's going to happen, fellas. you know, this is what's written, you know, this is what the word says, and this is what's going to happen. And, and the more we get an understanding of our shortcomings, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the more we have to learn to rely on God and rely on Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to be able to get us to a point where we understand it's not us that's strong, but it's He who is in us is strong. And when we rely on Him, then we can carry out His will. And that was the whole thing that Jesus was doing. He was relying on the Holy Spirit to carry out God's will. And so He was just letting His disciples know that, I know what's going to happen, but I'm still going to have compassion on you. Sheila G.
Amen. As you were talking about that, I was thinking about the lesson that we had a couple of weeks ago where we were talking about humility and pride, and how, and to do what you're saying as far as realizing that we have to rely 100% on the Holy Spirit, we have to be humble and not prideful of our own selves. And that's what Jesus is demonstrating there, because He knew He had the power. He didn't have to do it, but He humbled Himself. He showed that humility. He gave that prime example of humility, even by referring back to the scriptures, referring to what was going to happen to Him, and saying what they're going to do. And He was saying that, and that just shows humility, in that even though I know that you're going to smite me, even though I know you're going to deny me, I'm going to be humble enough to the cross and die for your sins. But I'm letting you know up front, I'm doing this because I love you, not because I have to. And that goes back to that whole thing, that example of humility that we need to have, especially as Christians. We need to show that humility. A lot of times when we're going through and things are going well for us, and, you know, God is blessing.
Ourselves
and not the glory to God. And that's where that pride overcomes the humility.
Amen. In that humility, not getting bent out of shape, I think a lot of times people say, well, you know, that's all the Bible does is condemn me. That's all it does is tell me all the things that I'm wrong about. And that's not the point. The point is Dr. G, is that, you know, again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you look at verse 2, it says, but, in other words, the condemnation of sin is not the end. And I think a lot of times people get caught up in the, oh, I'm this, I'm this, I'm that, I can't go to church, I'm this bad, or the Bible always talks about me. But there's a better way. And this is what the gospel is. The gospel says, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of you coming short, there's still a but. In other words, the front part of that sentence about, you know, all of us being offended and falling away is not the end. And so the but says, but after I am risen. In other words, all of this is going to take place. We're acknowledging this, but there's going to be a better outcome. And that's the goodness, the good news of the grace. That's the good news of the love of God, is that God is not going to leave us in a bad situation. We can choose to stay there, but He says, after I am risen again, in other words, He's saying, I got a better plan. And that's the thing, I think the message of today is to tell people that there's a better way. You know, don't stay into your defeated situation. Don't stay in your sin, but look at God. And look, like you said, Sheila, look at His humility. Look that He loved you. Look past your faults and saw your need. Look that if you pick up your cross and follow Him, if you learn of Him, learn that His burden is easy and His yoke is light. Learn that there's a better way. Then I believe that people will begin to start looking at things a little bit different. But as long as you're stuck as, I'm a sinner, I can't do any good, so I might as well act this way, you know, this defeatist thing that Satan likes to put on people. But when you look at that verse 32, that means that there's hope, Dr. G.
You're right. And it brings to mind, because we went out last night and had to preach at a friend's church, and I used the topic, God becomes real. And too often, you know, we live among people where, you know, this whole thing, they want to complain about, you know, the Bible this, the Bible that. But, when you look at this whole picture, you know, Jesus was on a mission. He did not come down to pat us on the back and tell us, oh, you're doing a good job, you're this, you're that. No, he came to help get into heaven. And too often, you know, we want the glory, we want the pat on the backs, we want to hear our name and lights, but we don't want to hear, you know, you went too far to the left, or you made a mistake, and that shows where we are in the body of the Lord. I mean, we got to grow up. And, you know, we've got to understand that if we want the good part after the bad part, then we need to do some serious studying. And if we were in that Bible like we should be, we wouldn't just stop at, you know, we have all sinned and come short. But you'll look at the where God gives us an out where we can get back into the right relationship with him. And until we as a people, those that we, you know, we claim to be Christ-like, until God becomes real to each and every one of us, we'll never fully understand that.
Amen.
And amen. That's good stuff. But like you say, he's on a mission. He said, but after I am risen again. In other words, he said, yeah, they're going to smite me. I'm going to lose my life, but I'm going to be arisen. And then after I'm risen, I'm going to go before you into Galilee. And in other words, here's the plan. Follow me. But too many times, Sheila G, we're like Peter in verse 33, where we're like, no, not me. I got this, you know.
I'm bad.
And I think sometimes, you know, I got this. Well, we got it. When we get it, we mess it up every time. So, it's like, I got this. And when we say I got it, we're leaving God out, and we're messing up every time. And so we have to get to a place where we get past our tendency to be Peter. So let's look at verse 33 and see what our Peter, and all of us got some Peter in us. It says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Oh my God. He takes his attitude of everybody else but me. You know, everybody else is going to be offended, yet will I not be. You know, that's the holier than thou Christian in the church, that everybody else is wrong. I can point out everybody else's fault, but I will never be wrong, Sheila G.
I'm laughing because, you know, we were just talking about Christ and humility, and here we have Peter with pride. You know, it's that like that ego. That you know, ego. My husband and I were having a discussion. It was like one of those man-woman discussions about if, like, said to him, I said, how come is it that it's so hard, particularly for men, to receive instructions without all of a sudden becoming and saying, it's like, when somebody just asked, especially if it's a female, I just asked the question, or I just wanted to remind you of this, that, and the other, but it's like, I got this.
Right.
And so he and I were having that discussion about different points of views, and here it is, you have this total different thing where God is trying to tell you this is what you're going to do, but it's okay, I'm going to make it all right. And all he heard was, you telling me I'm going to do this, that, and the other, so I'm not. You know? He didn't even hear 32. Yeah. And that is such the human nature, which would apply to the conversation that we were having. It's like that ego where you just can't tell me what to do or provide me instructions because I got this.
Right. And it's a thing, again, where God knows us. And The sooner we close our mouths, get our foot out of our mouth, and you see that in churches many times where people have to end up getting embarrassed and have to be called down off the high horse to realize that, you know, they should have adhered to God and listened to God and did it God's way, and to realize that, you know, it's not good to look down at other people. And you know, look what he said in verse 33. And it's Matthew 26:33. He says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall offend thee. I'm like, oh my gosh. He's just like, I'm better than, you know, everybody else. And, you know, it's not humility. it's arrogant. It's
ego.
It's not edifying. Ego is not edifying God. It's not recognizing Him. And like I said, all of us have a little bit of Peter in us, and
uh-huh.
and we always want to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, but. God dealt with him in verse 34. If we look at verse 34, God gave him a reality check. And that's what the word does for us. If
mm-hmm.
we think we're getting a little big-headed, getting sideways, getting, you know, a little farther to the left or to the right, he'll bring us back down to earth. So in verse 34, he deals with Peter. He said, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And if you read that in the NIV, it says, truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. So in other words, he's basically calling Peter out and saying, you know,
Tom,
Peter, I know you. You talk a good game, but I know you, Peter. And before the night is over, you're going to deny me three times. And it's the sooner, Sheila G, the sooner, Dr. G, that we realize that God knows every hair on our head, and we can fool people most of the time, but we can't fool God. And because if we try to fool God, we're fooling ourselves. And here Peter was fooling himself, and Jesus knew him. Jesus knew all of us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knows all of the hairs on our head. So it's a farce for us to think that, you know, we can hear what the word says. When Jesus said, all of you going to abandon me, and then to come up and go against what the word says. And that's why it's so important for us to be examined by the word ourselves, let the word shine on us so that
right.
we don't get big-headed, so we don't get out of line, to realize that, hey, I'm in this flesh, and as long as I'm in this flesh, I'll have
mm-hmm.
opportunity from time to time to mess up. And so I ought
right.
not think more highly of myself than I ought to, because I know somewhere in this flesh I can mess up. So I'm mm-hmm. not going to be like Big Mouth Peter and say, I don't sin, I don't do wrong. It's like, Father, I'm going to do a 1 John 1:9, you know, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
so that I can be in line with God, Sheila G.
Amen. And the sooner we learn, know that, the sooner we will truly get to know ourselves. I think that a lot of times we're in denial of how filthy our rags within us really are. And we come that very, okay, now that I'm saved, I'm perfect, I don't make mistakes. But the sooner we realize that, yes, in our natural self, no matter how much scripture we quote, we can quote, no matter how much we can fake it in front of man, in our natural self, and our natural self does rise up,
amen,
that we
mm-hmm.
are as rags, and acknowledge that, and we need to follow the direction of the Lord so that we can humble ourselves and listen to Him, because sometimes we're so busy pumping up ourselves that we hear our own voice, but we tune out God's voice.
Amen.
And you know, he's self-confident, and you know, we should put our trust and our confidence in God. And so if we go back to verse 35, he says, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, also said all the disciples. So everybody jumped on the bandwagon after that. Not me, not me, not me. And it was almost to a fault that, you know, no one listened to what the word said. And I think that's where we find ourselves in today's age, Dr. G, is that no one wants to listen or follow what the word says. It's like, if it's not convenient for what I want to hear, then I'm not going to follow it. And I think, you know, from Christians to non-Christians, if the word is not what I want to hear, and like you said, if it's not sugar-coated, if it's not tickling my ears, if it's not tickling my fancy, I don't want to hear it. And then when the preacher starts preaching, or the teacher starts teaching about, you know, sin and unrighteous and righteousness and the wages of sin and the gift of God and submitting yourself unto God and being a living sacrifice and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you begin to start telling them stuff that they don't want to hear, then they begin to start doing their own thing, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And, you know, while you were talking, I was just sitting here. A couple of things popped into my head because when I was a young preacher coming up, and I'll never forget this, there was one particular preacher. I mean, we were all young, but he would brag about the fact that because he was saved, he didn't commit any sin. And he was perfect. And, you know, now,
I had
a little bit of the word in me, and in my mind, I go back to where the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Then
That's right.
Got to new birth, the chairman of the deacon's ministry, you know, he was chairman, because he was saved, because he had studied, so he thought, and he could quote scripture verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
He was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make any mistake. And as I got in there, and through the Lord using me, it showed boyfriend what he was really all about.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't have his continue to do things, run the church in the way that it was being run. I remember one time he got mad, stomped up the steps, cussing in the church.
What?
He was working. Hey, and you know, his illness brought him down.
That's defeated in him.
That demon, and he still, to his death, didn't fully understand that he was not perfect, and he may have been saved, but he still had a long way to go. And the bad part about that, he was teaching that to a lot of the other people, and so many people that was buying into that. Mm-hmm. They thought they were the next thing to heaven. And, you know, and I tell folk all the time, look, I may have been in this thing a little bit longer than y'all, but I'm nowhere near perfect. I still mess up. The Lord is still dealing with me. And I still have to go before the Lord and ask for forgiveness.
Yep.
So, you know, and we have to understand, just like with Peter didn't fully, or none of those disciples fully understood what Christ's mission was. And it wasn't until after everything had to come into play, prophecy fulfilled, what Christ said come to the light. Now, the only thing difference is that with Peter, it happened rather quick, whereas with us, it take a while. And we have to understand that God sits high. He, like you said, he knows every little single hair on our head. So the Lord knows, he knows what he's talking about. And he put everything in this word, if we would study it, to guide us along this journey.
Wow.
But we still have to keep in mind that we have not yet reached perfection.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why I'm so glad that we do have the Word of God, because anytime you get off track or anything, something going on in your life, whether it's at work, whether it's your family, husband, wife, children, neighbors, or just community, the Word of God is our guide. I believe it was Paul that told Timothy it's good for instructions in righteousness, for correction, for, you know, teaching us that to do the right thing. And I think it needs, you know, people don't like to go to Sunday school, people don't like to go to Bible study, you know, people don't like to go to church, and, you know, that's why the world is spinning, you know, out of control, is because nobody wants to get back to the Word, to the instructions of righteousness that man needs. We need to understand that God is the creator. He's the one that created us. And that's why he's given us this instruction, because he knows our tendency to err. And it just gets to a point where people want to go further and further away from the Word, and then wonder why, you know, their communities, their lives, their marriages, their their relationships with people and the jobs and their community are so bad. One of the things that I was looking at this week was another black male was gunned down by two police officers. I believe they fired off 20 rounds. I think it was like 20 rounds, thinking that the fella had a gun and he had a cell phone in his hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, you don't understand that there's something wrong with that. You don't understand that there's a preconceived notion that every young black male is up to no good, and that, you know, you have no hesitation of killing that person. And then when you confront them with this inhumanity, they deny it. Oh no, it's just that we were fear for our lives. But if you would examine themselves and say, why is it that so many unarmed black folk are getting killed? Is it because of just osmosis, or is there something that we need to look at ourselves to evaluate ourselves, that there's something wrong with us? And that's when you turn to the Word. The Word will examine you and tell you where you're off base. But it just seems like, Sheila G, Dr. G, help me out if I'm wrong, that people won't turn to the Word of God. They'll turn to everybody else and everything else, but not realize that, you know, it's a thing where we need to look at ourselves and say, what are we doing as far as how are we characterizing people of color, or how are we characterizing why the majority of guns in the world belong to the United States? And, you know, why are certain guns, you know, able to people to get them and just shoot people up? But we won't examine ourselves and say this is the wrong thing as far as brown and black people, as far as weapons, to say that, hey, you know, this shouldn't be right. This shouldn't be going down. Let me see what the Word says about this, to examine myself to see if I'm doing the right thing. But it just seems like people are not willing to do that, Sheila G.
And that's true, because we've gotten away from the traditional way of every expectation is that on Sunday you go to church.
That's it.
If you didn't go anywhere, you know, even if you didn't attend school, if you didn't attend Bible study, everybody, black, white, orange, blue, went to church. And you'll find in these other countries, they still have that tradition of going to the cathedral, going to the church. And we've lost our moral compass in the United States because it's no longer a true part of our living, going to church. Because when you think about it, if you went to church every Sunday, even if that's all you did, you wouldn't feel right murdering somebody.
That's right.
Even if you felt threatened, because that Holy Spirit would be within you. Wait a minute, I shouldn't murder somebody.
It's
or
a human
what,
being, right?
Be a human. Mm-hmm. But yet, and still, because we've lost our moral compass, because it's no longer the norm to go to church every Sunday, now you have a president that thinks it's okay to just molest women and pay them off. You know, it's just, it's just that. And then you have evangelical preachers saying that, oh, I'm willing to look the other way.
Amen.
Again, it's because our nation as a whole has lost its moral compass because we've come too lax in our spiritual normalcy of going to church all the time. Even back in the slave days, that's what got our people through. Was you would find it wasn't so much the building, it wasn't so much how glorious the building was, it was more of being in touch with God. And once you start losing that connection and not having it on a regular basis, that's when you start losing your moral compass. That's when it doesn't faze you to shoot another human being.
And you're right. Even in the time of slavery, you had the black church and even the white churches, and you know, they try to justify their way of keeping people in slavery or bondage, but eventually, like you said, the Word had to convict them. And you know, people continuing to act godly and act faithfully, and eventually it showed them how wrong they were.
And it
was a thing of in the civil rights movement where, you know, the churches were involved and people worshiped God and they were instructed to behave in a way that was godly, so that
right.
it would show the people that were against him that, you know, they were dead wrong with treating people that were acting godly, you know, as if they weren't human.
Right.
And you know, in today's society, you have so many young males and people of color that are doing the right thing, but then you have on the other side, you have people that just act plain fool. And you know, that gives them ammunition to say, hey, look at all of them. It's not all of them, but, you know, as long as there's one that's acting a fool, you know, that would give them a justification to fear for their lives. And, you know, anybody that looks, you know, black or brown is a threat. And,
right.
you know, therein lies the battle of trying to minister to people to say, hey, you know, if you're persecuted for doing the right thing, you know, then God will avenge you.
Right.
But you can't, you know, keep doing the wrong thing and expecting that you'll get treated a certain way. But it's you can see it changing right before your eyes, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. I'm just sitting here thinking because even with this country, I mean, printed on our currency, In God We Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, I mean, granted, we had slavery days and all of that, and people were still fighting, trying to break free. But like you said, you know, people went to church. We had our morals. And
mm-hmm.
every war that we fought, you know, we won as long as our trust was in the Lord. But
right.
where we are now, like you said earlier, you know, our motto is, I got it. I'm going to have to preach
mm-hmm.
from that. With Peter, because we think we got it.
Right.
I mean, you know, we don't need the Lord anymore until it's a situation where, you know, we go before the doctor and the doctor gives us a diagnosis of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we hit
mm-hmm.
cancer,
mm-hmm.
then we want to run to the church. Mm-hmm. Then we want the preacher
mm-hmm.
to pray. But where were you when you didn't have cancer?
Right.
When you weren't
right.
sick? I mean, we've lost, we've completely gotten away from our first love. And, you know, the fear of God
yeah.
is no longer there. You know, we do what we want. I mean, folk have gotten so bad they do it in the church now. So,
Amen.
You know, that respect of what the church represented, it's just no longer there.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We're gonna go to the phone lines. We are looking at what we've been talking about and just ask the question: is there a fear of God? Is what happened to the fear of the word, or how can I phrase this? Is the word still effective, and we need to make sure we stay with the word. So I'm gonna go to the phone lines. That's just the question: is the word still effective in 2018? So we're gonna go to first caller. Last four digits 1411. You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody. It's Brother Brandon Stewart calling in.
Good evening.
I would definitely say, well, it depends on how you look at it, in my opinion. It can only be effective if it's utilized, if it's being used, if you just know the word as they did, you can quote it, you know it backwards and forward. But if you're not internalizing it, if you're not utilizing it, then it will have no effect. And, you know, I believe that's what a lot of issues are, or why a lot of Christians have
mm-hmm.
problems. They feel, well, all I do is go to church. Well, I'm reading scripture. Well, I'm praying. But if you're not living that life, if you're not utilizing what God gave us to help navigate, to help go through the storm and utilize the word of God, then it's not going to be effective at all. You know, I was joking around with my
mm-hmm.
little brother the other day because we were reminiscing about elementary school days, about, you know, when the teachers used to give us open book tests. And we'd be like, how in the world do
right.
we still have Negroes fail an open book test? And then we started realizing, like, hey, wait a minute. If you never opened the book to begin with in class,
right.
you have to do it in and out. you would never know how to navigate through it to find the answers. So now, thinking right. of this conversation, that's right. what it is. You in church, you go through the motions, but mm-hmm. you'll never open a book to know where to find the answers. And that's the problem. The word can only be effective if it's actually being utilized, if you study. So if you say, hey, I got a problem, I know where to go to get it, and not only just knowing where yes. to find the answer, but taking that answer and putting action to it, putting motion to it, making it move, making it do something, whether it's you're having a mm-hmm. if you're having a tough time, if you're having marital problems, all the answers can be found in the Bible, but effectiveness can only be worthy if it's actually applied. And that's why in the Word of God, you have to apply every single aspect of what we learn, what we go through to mm-hmm. make it effective. And whether that's an impact on you, have an effect on family members, have an effect on people at your job and loved ones, that's the only truly way that the Word, whether it's 2018, whether it's back in the biblical times, whenever, that's the only way
right,
the
right.
Word of God can be effective, if you actually take it and actually put action to it and actually know and learn it. Because, like we said, we can go through the motions. Satan knows the Word of God. That's how he's able to trick us.
Yeah.
That's how he's able to use
yeah.
it. Because he knows, okay, I know the Word of God, and I'm going to try to twist these words to make mm-hmm. Christians do things out of character, do things that are against the will of God. That's how he does it. So we can also do it the opposite way of that, utilizing the Word of God to be effective at our marriage, to be effective
mm-hmm.
at our job, to be effective at raising our kids, to be effective at all aspects of life, and even helping us to deal with it. As you guys mentioned, you know, back in the day, Christians, African-Americans, when we were enslaved, that's how we got through. We didn't just read the Word of
mm-hmm.
God. We sang hymnals. We internalized it. That helped us get through. When you look at all religions, because I think every religion at some point in time throughout the history of man has been persecuted, whatever God it is they
mm-hmm.
worship, that's besides the point. But the fact is, whatever they believed in, that's what they used to get by, from the Jewish to the
mm-hmm.
Native Americans and the Chinese when they had to build the railroads. When they were being enslaved,
mm-hmm.
whatever God it is they worship, that's how they got through, because they knew that word and they applied it. And the same goes for us. But until we actually put movement to it, put action to it, actually take it outside the realm of just the church and start living that life outside of those four walls
right.
every Sunday
right.
or the hour we call in on Wednesday or the hour we call in on Thursday, the word will have
mm-hmm.
no effect. And then what ends up happening is other things of this world will end up having an effect on us, and that's how we get further and further away from God. So, yes, I believe that the word is effective, but it's only effective
mm-hmm.
if utilized. Just like taking a medicine, if a doctor gives you a pill bottle, stare at it and don't open it up and don't use it. But you say, well, if I take it, I know it's going to get rid of this, get rid of that, get rid of that. But you steadily staring at it, but you wonder why you're still sick. You got to utilize it. You got to pop that thing open. You got to know where it is. Okay, I got to go to my cabinet, search through some other medicines, grab this specifically. I know what it's going to do, but I got to take it. I got to utilize it in order for it to have an effect. So until we actually start embracing the Word of God and, like I said, taking it outside of the realm of church and utilizing it for its purposes, it ain't just to learn in church. It's so that we can survive until we have that great
amen.
Day where we can go and stand before the Lord. That's what it's for, to help navigate through this world that Jesus had to go through, that all these people that we talk about in the Bible, they had to live in this world, but also remember that they were Christians first and foremost, and they had the will of the Lord to do. In order for them to be effective to other people, they have to show that the word
mm-hmm.
has impacted them, has affected them, because I'm not going to believe anything you say about God unless I see God in you. And I said, well, if you're telling me God has this impact on me and the Word of God has this effect
mm-hmm.
on me, how come I don't see that in you, brother? Because you're not living that
right,
life. So
right.
also remember, too, that if you want to have an effect on people, people see the Word of God in us, because you can't just tell somebody to crack open the Bible and learn it and understand it. But if they can see it through us, see it through our actions, see it through how we speak, see it when we navigate through controversy in whatever aspect of our life is, that's how you have a true effect. So it starts with you. You need to have that relationship with God first. You need to understand that Bible. You need to live that life, and then we can start
mm-hmm.
bringing people closer to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, that's some good preaching right there. Good gracious Lord. I'm going to leave that young man alone, Dr. G. We're going to go to the next caller. Last one, this is 7971. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Abba. And I'm telling you, Brandon brought it on down. He brought it to
the
point.
Yeah, good preaching.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But in order to know that, it's just like I heard a sermon. It says, how do you know that you're following God? And it's the same thing as how do we know that the word is effective? If you are going to church, you can go to church every day. Mm-hmm. But if you're not following God's word,
amen,
if you're not living God's word, if you don't believe in the word, you can listen, but are you believing it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You can go, but do you love the Lord?
Yeah.
You can go, but are you obeying his word?
Amen. Yeah.
You can go to church, but are you doing the things that God says we are supposed to be doing as a Christian?
Yeah.
To be a follower of him, that's being his image, his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the things that he says that we are supposed to be doing as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
When you can mingle and with God's people, with anybody.
Amen.
With anybody. And know that you are on the right track,
mm-hmm,
with God. People have all kind of thoughts in their minds. They can look,
mm-hmm,
at you, dress, the way you talk, the way you present yourself, and immediately come up with an opinion of you.
Amen.
Is that
godly? No, it is not. No, it is not. You could find a drunk on the street who probably treat you better than some of these folks that,
uh-oh,
I've seen,
uh-oh,
in churches.
Amen.
Uh-oh.
At least he'll speak.
Amen.
At least he'll ask you for what he wants from you. But it's a lot of things that come into place that would tell you as a Christian whether you are living God's life. And it's his life. Our life is not ours.
Yes.
Amen.
It is not ours.
Mm-hmm.
He made us.
Yes.
And his intent was that we follow his word.
Amen.
And live the,
amen,
life of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give it to him, and if you serve him, and if you love him, and if you obey him, and put a smile on your face,
mm-hmm,
and love others as he loves us, that's when you know it's effective.
Amen.
There's some
things out here that's going to draw you away from God and tell you it's okay. It's,
mm-hmm,
right.
Yep.
The way that people look today, piercing, tattoos, pants hanging down from your behind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't know a man from a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what tells you that is not being effective in certain people's lives, but there are, I guarantee there are more Christians than there are the devil. Some of them just needs to be critiqued and need to,
mm-hmm,
stop that thinking, because we have some Christians that have some stinking thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's bringing them away from God.
Right.
They come into the church, they can't give up them old friends.
Uh-oh.
They feel, they're my friend.
Amen.
Mm.
They're your friend?
Right there.
I have it right here in my house. But I'm working on it. God knows I'm working on it. Boy, get your pants up. I don't want to see you behind. You can't live in here like that.
Amen.
I mean, we have to spread the gospel ourselves.
Amen.
Amen.
And when they see you live that life, they can't say nothing.
That's right.
That's right.
You don't change. You don't change. You know that you know that you know who he is and what he is to you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that can be thrown at somebody, 2018,
right,
has been thrown at me. But I can say it boldly. It hasn't changed not one iota of what the good Lord means to me.
Amen.
Amen.
I refuse to let anybody think that they can come in, live any other way but God's way.
That's right.
And if you don't like it, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't care who you are.
I know that's right.
I don't care who you are.
Amen.
And I make it known.
Amen.
I make it known. So we have to be bold in our life. I went to a Catholic church. And you know how the Catholics are. All the people at the table but me was Catholic. But when we ended
mm-hmm.
up, we were laughing and smiling. And they said, well, you make it look like we've known you all your life. I said, we have. We're
mm-hmm.
Christians.
That's right.
We're
right.
Christians at this table. At least we're supposed to be. We all are God's children. And it's only one God.
Right.
That's right.
And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Holy One. Our Lord and Savior. Not Mary. Everything got quiet. I'm in the Catholic Church. And you have to be a bold Christian. You have to love the Lord and you can't deny him. And we had a hallelujah good time. Yes, we did.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. And follow him with all your might, with everything. Whatever it takes, you do that. For the Lord, not for yourself. Because
uh-huh.
he got your back. He got your back.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure you do what his word tells you to do. And stop going to the wrong source. Go to his word.
There you go.
I thank you all. Thank you again for being such great teachers of God's word. You can teach, but are you teaching the word?
God
all right now.
Where the people can comprehend and implement it in that everyday walk of life.
Amen.
And you've done that, God is pleased with it.
God
I love it. I tried, and I'm very arrogant about it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. You got one more caller on the line. The last four digits, 9772. 9772, you're on air.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Oh,
good evening.
My God. Yes, sir. Is that you asked the question, is there a fear of God?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is.
Is there fear of
God
and is the word? I
remember the time that I had a friend of mine. I got a friend of mine in Chicago, and he always asked me, James, are you saved? And I said, yeah, I'm saved. Didn't know what saved was. I said, yeah, I saved. Yeah, I went to church, but I was saved. But no, I didn't know exactly what that word meant, saved, but I've been traveling and going through God from the time I talked to him, and I went to him last year and told him, yes, I am saved.
Amen.
And I know what that means now, okay? I follow God all the time, and I can see when God is on my shoulder. It's keeping me off the devil off me and ride with me, and the devil and the Jesus just ride with me and just walk with me and just keep quiet. Just say, I told you, keep quiet. And it'd be just I can see him walking with me. Yeah, I feared him then, but now I'm saved. So I don't need to say, I had a fear of him, but I don't have a fear of him now because I know I got him on my side.
Amen.
Every time I walk and talk, he walk with me and talk with me, and he say, are you saved? Yes, I am saved. And I walk with him.
I
hope
saved.
Everybody can walk with him every day. And praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. That's Sheila G and Dr. G. These folks on fire tonight. They talking a whole bunch of good stuff. I got a whole bunch of notes for some sermons.
No, both of y'all.
These folks got some serious word rolling around here, Sheila G. I'll let you have your final comments with Dr. G and close us out in prayer.
As we were talking, I was thinking about what Aunt Vi was saying. We have to be bold soldiers for Christ, regardless of what environment we're in. And it brought me back to last year when Jessica had been invited to represent the hospital at the State of the Union. with the new president. And the human and the flesh in me was like, I don't want to go up there with that fool. But when I prayed to God about it, he was like, you know, you're supposed to be a Christian in season, out of season. There's no fleshly person that should intimidate you. Wherever you are, whatever environment you are, you're in, you represent me. And that's exactly what happened when we were there. Jessica totally represented Christ. When people were sitting around afraid to say anything, she spoke up. And as a result of her speaking up, the word came back later on that day that the first lady requested that she sit next to her, whereas originally we were going to sit in the back. And as Jessie was next to her, she was telling the first lady about her church, told her that her father was the pastor, invited her to her church, and that's what it's about, is that childlike faith, not being determined by the things that you see, the things that you hear about, the things of this world, but just being a plain old bold soldier for Christ, recognizing that whatever environment you're in, you go in there not thinking about what people are thinking about, but thinking about how you can best represent God and have an impact.
Amen. Dr. G?
Nah, Sheila said it all.
All right. There you go. Go ahead and close us out in prayer, please.
Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you for another evening that we could go through your word. Lord, as we prepare this week, Lord, we ask that you would take us back to that week, that final week, Lord, when you were preparing to give your life. Father, we thank you right now for everything that you've done and what you continue to do to try to help mankind. Father, I pray right now that as we finish up this week and as we go to separate churches on Sunday, that, Lord, we can help the people to remember and to reflect on what it must have been like on Resurrection Sunday. Father, we thank you that those that went to that grave, they didn't know how, but Lord, they just knew they had to get there. And Lord, we thank you that when they got there, that stone had been rolled away. And Lord, we thank you that you were not in that tomb, but you had already arisen. Father, we thank you.
Thank
we praise you, and we just pray now, Lord, that you would continue to help us to be more like you. Father, we pray and ask it all right now. In the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you all next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.